All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, this communion Sunday. Lord, we pray for your words, God, to feed us, to nourish us, and also to enable us and convict us, that it would heal us and cause us, Lord, by your Spirit, to believe in your words. And not just to be the hearers of them, but doers. So would you do that, Lord? Would you do that work today? Would you come in your presence and move in our midst? Move in your words. In Jesus' name, amen. I would say if there's probably something that may have... be immediate, I would say today's words, I think, would impact you immediately, even as you leave. Not that the other sermons in this series don't, but it's something that we could almost immediately take away. Not that you would, and I don't know if all of you will. It is such a grave matter. And I think one of the things that I will try to convince you from the Word of God, that it is of the utmost gravity, that it is such a weighty matter, and we regularly practice it. And so this sub-series started last week. It's Emotions calling, title Falling Short. It's when we are, last week it was self-pity. When we are hurt, disappointed, when we are injured, you know, in some way, unrecognized, unjustly accused, it sets off, you know, just, it feels, you know, and we're unable to, you know, in a sense, we're inconsolable, you know. It may be because, you know, we attempted something and we failed, or we attempted something and got unrecognized, or, you know, misjudged. These are the types of things. And so it's, injures not just us, the new us, but it also bruises the ego. And I think when I say ego, every time we are hurt, disappointed, we're not just hurt. We are hurt even in the new self. If any of you came up to me and said, Henry, I don't know what you were thinking, but your sermon sucked. Now, many of you, you know, wouldn't say that to my face, you know. But if you did, it would hurt, but it would also injure my ego. Now, the self-pity is probably the more passive-aggressive, you know, sibling in that mix of what comes out. You know, oh, you would think, oh, after all that, you guys have no idea what it takes. And, you know, like, these are the types of thoughts you would have. And it's just, we are, in a sense, consoling or having compassionate for ourselves. Because that's what pity means, is the word means compassion. You know? And so we have this injured ego. And so last week we said, let's mortify it. When your ego is down, instead of trying to prop it back up, why don't we go in for the kill? It's like, whoa, what do you mean going for the kill? Well, it is such a revolutionary idea that when you have an injured ego, to humble yourself, right? To humble yourself. And not turn to self-pity, but turn to God. Accept whatever, you know, whether it's injustice, whatever is coming our way, unrecognized merits, you know, all these things that are brewing within us. Nothing wrong with seeking compassion from God. Nothing wrong with seeking encouragement from brothers. But seeking encouragement to build up the new self is different than propping up the old self through self-pity. And so, likewise, when frustration comes, we then tend to not hurt or pain, not in that sense. It could. We can be frustrated because of the pain. But frustration and grumbling, like self-pity, is similar in that it arises out of an injured ego or an offended ego. Let's define first what frustration is, because that is almost daily emotion for many of us. We are frustrated. Now, you might not use that word, so let's define it so you can use it more often. It's a feeling of being upset and dissatisfied, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. You're trying to get something done. Your kids are nagging, constantly trying to get your attention. You know, you're trying to get it done. You're trying to achieve something. And you're frustrated. Or you're trying to do something and the people just won't listen or they won't cooperate. So you're frustrated. You're frustrated for people who are pretty smart because other people are dumb. You're frustrated. Why can't they be more like me? You know, so smart and so brilliant. We are easily frustrated. And that sense, and it is in every sense, the sense frustration is a sense of losing self-control. You know, when we can't steer this ship to the destination that we want, something is getting in the way. Something is getting in the way of, and it could be good things. And it often is. Most of the time, it probably is, I would say. Good things that you're trying to do, and we are profoundly disappointed. And thus, disappointment, loss of control equals frustration. Because we can't change it. We're frustrated with our husbands because we can't change him like we want. We can't change our wives like we want. We can't change our children like we want. So we are frustrated. It is something, especially relational frustration. It's like a daily grind. You know, it's like, so what do we do when we are frustrated? We grumble. We love to grumble. And now, we don't recognize grumble because it is just, to us, it's a matter of reason. You know, it's, I am complaining because of a good reason. The definition is a mutter of discontent. You know, it seems so innocent. You know, what's wrong with a little grumbling? You know, isn't that what friends are? Isn't that what your spouse, when you get married, right? Stop trying to fix it. Just hear my grumbling. Isn't that what some of you might say to your spouse? Don't we expect a grumble, like, right? Not a grumble-free zone, but a grumble-enable zone where you can do this at will. And it seems so innocent. Let me just get it out of my system. But just like self-pity, what happens in self-pity is it most often leads to excusing yourself of responsibility. You know? And then you talk yourself out of having to do something, taking on more responsibility because of all the things I gotta get done. I need my time. I need space. I need rest. Oh my God. Like, if I don't take care of myself, who's gonna look out for me? Grumbling likewise. It is a loss of your own sovereignty. And therefore, grumbling is your way of reasoning, the ego's way of reasoning, to not do something or stop doing something, thus relieving you of the frustration. Now you're probably thinking, well, if I can't grumble, if I can't even grumble to my spouse, here's a true statement. Frustration will come when our sovereignty is threatened. When our sovereignty is threatened. Frustration is a question of our own sovereignty. It is in every way an attitude. I remember when, trying out for soccer. And, you know, and I remember, you know, the tryouts were horrendous. I did more running during soccer tryouts than anything. And then you make the team, right? And you make the team and you think, okay, that was the weeding out part. All right. Now you're on the team. I didn't know that the coach's philosophy was, we don't have the most athletic guys, not the fastest. Therefore, we're going to have the most stamina. Now, I didn't know any of this, right? But I remember the first practice was still like tryouts. It was like run, you know, drill, run. And then when you're completely dog tired, okay, guys, let's run some hills. Let's run some hills. It's like many of you feel like I'm drowning, right? And then somebody asks you to do something, you know? And I think I use that analogy. I'm drowning, then somebody hands me a baby. Here's what nobody told me when I became a Christian. Nobody told me that being a Christian is like joining the military. Nobody told me that being a Christian is belonging to that soccer team. Here's the thing. Being a Christian is an elite activity. You're joining forces with God, the King of the universe, to undergo serious suffering. Pay ridiculous costs, make sacrifices, and lose control of your destiny for the will of God. It's baked into the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Your kingdom rules. God, hallowed be your name. And then thy will, not mine, thy will be done. There's prioritization. If somebody's handing you a baby and you feel like you're drowning, maybe you're drowning. You know what I mean? If you're too busy and you feel like drowning, then you are too busy. Because if that baby is a kingdom command, frustration, right? Frustration. It's like little Henry's like, ugh! Now let's look at all this time, Numbers 11. Now this is just a couple of days after the Mount Sinai, God hands down the tablets. They're on their way to the Promised Land. And already we pick it up They were rescued from the Egyptians out of slavery. Out of slavery. And just a few days into this thing, we pick up their complaint. And it happened. The people are like those who complain of hardship in the hearing of Yahweh. So people are complaining. And they don't care if God hears them. They do not care if God hears them. That's what this is saying, right? I mean, it goes out of the way saying, this is now an active complaint. Now, God is taking them to the promised land. The route isn't easy. And then when they think about it, this is actually harder than when we were enslaved and had better stuff. It's almost kind of like, hey, wait a minute. I think I was better off when I wasn't a Christian. You know what I mean? I wasn't a Christian, and I just feel like, you know, I had more control. You know, I just had, you know, forget about this promised land business. This is very applicable to us. And Yahweh became angry. Now, this is God's, this is how God feels about grumbling. God is not neutral to grumbling. And we pick up why. And the fire of Yahweh burned among them, and it consumed the edge of the camp. God was doling out punishment. The way God takes grumbling, and here's the thing, and we'll see it later, it is an act of rebellion. When God said, are you sure you want this covenant? Are you sure you want to be my people and me become your God? You sure? We're good with that. You're going to come under my sovereign reign and you're going to be my people. So you're going to obey all that I command. That's exactly what he said. You're going to obey all that I commanded. And they said, yes, I will. So you're not sovereign. I'm sovereign. So if I take you through this route, and if I tell you to go this way and I tell you to go that way, you're going to go that way. They say, okay. Yeah. That's just so much like us. When we became Christians, we were like, yes. We sing songs and say, yes, God, yes. Until the moments come, we're like, maybe not so much. And that's what they were doing. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to Yahweh, and the fire died down. And he called the name of that place Teberah because the fire of Yahweh burned among them. There's a place right now on planet Earth where God harshly dealt with grumbling. I don't know where it is, you know, but there's a place that was designated to tell people, don't do that again. We're going to now grumble, not to God. We saw what happens when you grumble against God, but we're going to grumble against God in a sense, grumble against sovereignty to a person. That seems kind of okay. Whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? People's hearts. Look, when we hone in on human nature, when we hone in on ego, don't be like, oh, I can't believe they did that. That's us. That's our nature. We're kind of like that. Let's rehash. Frustration will come when what? Our sovereignty is threatened. Hey, wait a minute. I know I said I will obey. Okay? I didn't sign up for this. That's what that is. I did not sign up when I said I do. When I said I believe, I did not sign up for this. What do you mean I got to prioritize my life? What do you mean I got to get rid of stuff? Because these guys are on the run. In Egypt, they could amass a whole bunch of stuff. You know? Can you imagine though? Like when you're moving around, you got to get rid of stuff. You can only take so much. And all this moving around, if you had a lot of things accumulated, frustration. Frustration will come when our sovereignty is threatened. Now, all grumbling is a rebellion against God's sovereignty. We said that. All right, let's pick up back in Numbers 14. This is how Moses and Aaron, they know now. They know grumbling is serious business. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the congregation of the people of Israel. Okay, now, just backdrop. This is a scenario when the 12 spies were sent out, okay, into the promised land, and there were some huge people. And God is like saying, go and take that land. And other than Joshua and Caleb, the other 10 spies were like, you got to be kidding me. We're like tiny people compared to them. They got serious weapons. It's like a fortress in there. And so they're like, look, you're trying to kill us. You're trying to kill us. Now, obviously, they're talking to Moses and Aaron. Let's continue now. So now Joshua and Caleb, okay, continue. So the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. God is king. See, when we sign up, we're saying, you are a better sovereign over my life than I am over my own. What you tell me to do when you command me to forgive is better than me suffering in my own bitterness and unwilling to forgive. When you say turn the other cheek, when you say go and apologize, when you say give because it's better than receiving, when you say make sacrifices, when you say love, when you say all these things, when you say it's not about you, when you say those things, I believe you're a better sovereign over my life than I am over my own. You are a better master of my destiny than I am. Now, what does it take before we take that sovereignty back? Suffering. You know, suffering. There's nothing like pain to make betrayers of us all, isn't there? We become traitors. God, I didn't sign up for this. Actually, we had. Maybe people didn't say it. But when you become a Christian, you're saying, yes, you are my king. You are what? My sovereign. And when you tell me to do things, I will listen. And then Jesus says, when you pray every day, go and say, yes, you are my sovereign. Thy will be done. So Joshua and Caleb says, do not, only, please, I beg you, do not rebel. Now, people did not take kindly. What do? Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Stone them, kill them. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me, and how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? No matter how much God touches us, it seems, no matter how he blesses us, we've never really turned over control of our own lives to God. It exposes us. See, God is our sovereign. Deuteronomy is a book in the Old Testament written after, right? The Israelites have wander through the wilderness. They arrive in Moab. They're about to now go into the promised land. So this is a commentary on their wandering. It took a long time, right? It took a long time because God would not allow, okay, those rebellious, grumbling people to go into the promised land. So he had to wait for an entire generation to be wiped out. But let's take a look at what God says, why he did what he did. Why God takes us when he can go from point A to point B. Why does God make us suffer? Let's pick it up. Deuteronomy 8:1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And here's what God says about that time. It says, and you shall remember the whole ways that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might, what? Humble you. Here's the thing. God, when you join the Lord's army, yes, sir. You know that song? I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. When you join the Lord's army, right, just like all armies, he's got to break you down. I remember, when I went to basic training in 1984. I stepped off the, what they call the cattle car, right? You step off, and immediately you're surrounded by a bunch of drill sergeants. And they are in your face, screaming and yelling, saying all manners of humbling things. Now, before that, I was at the getting my haircut. Now, I was a little bit of a rebel. Okay, before I joined, I had a haircut that says I'm a rebel. Hair that was like in front of my face, shaved in different areas. And I remember the barber comes in. He sees my hair. He goes, whoa, okay. It was like around lunchtime. He comes in and he runs a clipper right down the middle of my head. He goes, hey, we got to go to lunch. Everybody vacates and I'm the only guy in the chair, right? And I was like, what is going on? From the moment I joined up, the whole process was meant to humble me, to break me down as an individual so that I can then be built back up as a team. That's the military. And by the way, that's what Paul says. We don't have time for civilian affairs. That's what the Bible says. See, God is breaking us down, our individuality, because we're not good, we're not naturally born as good team members. So what does God say when he says that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart? Do we know there were such bitter people? Do we know there were such fair weather friends? Do we know that when the tough times come, when the tough gets going, we get going the other way? When the tough times comes, I remember, okay? Now, the one thing about the military, right? When you sign on the dotted line, I remember even when I was in ROTC, I was like, you know what? This military business is not for me. He goes, let me remind you, you signed a contract. There are two ways you're going to get out of this contract. You can go in as a private, or you can go to jail. I elected, okay, to fulfill my contract. But point is, the cost of going down that path was becoming more and more evident as the heat got turned on.